Praise Yahweh, praise Yahweh, praise Yahweh. Well, welcome aboard with us tonight, ladies and gentlemen. This is Pastor Buddy. I'm joining you live around the world on WWRB, and we're glad to have you in here. Tonight, part two of the holy angels that are coming down to make themselves known to us and to reveal themselves. You know, the Bible is very distinct, and it is very informative about the angels and their missions to earth. We're surrounded, ladies and gentlemen. Daniel referred to them as watchers. Now, that's strange, isn't it, that we got someone watching us? Well, I don't know whether they're watching over us, or watching under us, or watching around us, but we do know that we're encamped with the angels, and we hope and trust, praise Yahweh, that these angels are watching over you tonight. Now, in the Old Testament, it talks a lot about, and the New Testament, it's full of examples of theophanies. Now, theophany is a Greek word, and it means a manifestation, visible manifestation, of a divine being, the watcher, the angels. We could relate several other examples, but watchers and angels are theophanies, and we done give you an illustration that Yahweh himself is the image that he came to reveal himself in different forms, and these are called theophanies. And you need to know that is a manifestation of the mighty ones. Now, the Bible said some have entertained angels unaware. In Genesis chapter 16, that's exactly what happened to Hagar. Remember that Hagar fled into the wilderness to escape from Sarah, Abraham's wife, and the angel of Yahweh promised to greatly multiply her descendants and prophesied the birth of Ishmael, who became the progenitor of the Arab nations. And so right now, it looks like it. The sabers are rattling again in the Middle East because Iran is an Arab nation, and they are belligerent, according to the United States and Israel. But don't they have, North Korea's got nuclear weapons, and they're threatening the whole world with them. And Iran says that all their doing is trying to generate energy through nuclear peaceful purposes, and there's no evidence they've ever created. But today they were rebuked by the Secretary of State, as she said that they're watching them close, and Israel has done put them on record that they could strike any time. Well, in Genesis chapter 22, now that's the Arab race, and there was an angel. Now listen to that now. This angel was very concerned about Hagar. This is Abraham's son by Hagar, the Egyptian woman. Now, in Genesis chapter 22, it's the angel of Yahweh who called from heaven to stay the hand of Abraham as he took the knife to slay his son Isaac. Now, isn't that strange? There again, ladies and gentlemen, Genesis 22 tells you exactly that the angel intervened. Have we got these angels this close? I mean, do they know what you're fixing to do before you ever do it? Well, if your hair is ahead of numbered, and your steps are ordered, and your days are numbered, well, don't you think that they would probably know what's on the time track of your life? I think so. In Genesis 32:30, Jacob wrestled with a man during the night who blessed the patriarch and changed his name to Israel. Jacob responded by calling the place of this encounter Peniel, saying, "It is because I saw Yahweh face to face, and yet my life was spared." And Jacob identified the man he had wrestled with as God. Incredible. Have you ever wrestled with an angel? Have you ever wrestled with Yahweh himself? Could Yahweh come down in a theophany, a body of flesh, solid flesh? Now, Jacob wrestled with this angel, whatever it was, and he really believed it was Yahweh himself because he said so in Genesis 32:30. Now, in Genesis chapter 48, verses 15 through 16, Jacob blessed his son Joseph and his children and said that Yahweh, before whom my fathers Abraham and Isaac walked, the God who has been my shepherd all my life to this day, and the angel who has delivered me from all harm. Oh my, I just love that one. The angel that is delivered from all harm. Ladies and gentlemen, remember when the Messiah was fasting and praying upon the mountain, and the angels, after he had went through his 40-day ordeal and Satan had tempted him, and he was basically what we would call today, he was expended. He was wrung out. He was tired. He was weary. And you know, sometimes when we wrestle against these spirits and wickedness in high places, it leaves our bodies stressed, expended, and weary, and things of this nature. And so the angels, now I got a great charge out of this. The angels of Yahweh came. Now here is Almighty Yahweh himself in the flesh body known as the Son of Man. He came in a flesh body. He was Yahweh in the flesh, according to John 1:14. According to John 1:1, it was God who was made flesh. So here is the angels. Now these are ministering spirits. And they came. Now, I wonder what they done to him. I mean, how did they revive him? How did they? Well, what was their purpose? I mean, they didn't intervene the whole 40 days. They didn't intervene in Yahweh's battle against Satan, the tempter. You know what? Satan said, "I'll cut a deal with you." And so Yahweh, see, the Bible said he was tempted in all points, but yet he didn't sin. And that's the first time any man has ever been on the planet that has withstood this satanic attack. All of us became victims of the cunning craftiness of Satan. And the Bible said he's actually taken us captive at his own will. So, man oh man, how wonderful it is to know that there is ministering spirits to you in the time of need. Ladies and gentlemen, it is so wonderful. It's sort of like the Bible said, and I just love to repeat this. It is joy unspeakable and it's full of glory. Now I'll repeat that. It's joy unspeakable and it's full of glory. Well, if it's joy unspeakable, and you know that no temptation is joyous, and we are all under the assault, especially in the last days. You ever notice the tension and the stress and the strain? I mean, people getting on drugs. They have to take a pill to walk around, literally. They become zombies when they're off the medicines that they have to take. They have to take one to go to bed, one to get up, and one to function on, and just they're popping pills. And it seems like at the government, now the doctors, these licensed pharmakia, they are just dispensing and prescribing these things to alter our minds. And yet, Yahweh can minister to you tonight. He can give you that strength. He can give you that power. Because, ladies and gentlemen, the Bible said we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. Now, Jacob actually wrestled against a flesh being. I mean, he was armed up and a leg in, and I mean, he held on and he wouldn't let go. And the angel whoever it was, this Theophany that he was wrestling with, and we know he was real because when he was at Bethel, and the Bible said there was a ladder descended from heaven. That means from up in space, maybe a spacecraft. And this ladder came down, and this mighty one came down, and Jacob asked him what his name was, and he said, what is it to you, seeing that it's wonderful? And Jacob said, well, I got to know what it is. And the angel said, I can't tell you that. That is a secret. It's not for me to tell. That's for a later date. When the name of the divine creator will be revealed to you, I'm just an angel in his presence, and I'm not to do that. He's going to do that himself. And Jacob said, you ain't leaving here until you tell me. I mean, everybody thinks that Jacob was some weakling. Let me assure you, ladies and gentlemen, you had to be a mighty one to rank up with these angels. I'm going to get into some things to show you how powerful they are, how many people they can destroy in one night, and the whole city, Sodom and Gomorrah. We done took that in part one. Part two, we're going to go through some examples in Exodus chapter 3. And verse 2, listen to this one now. And the angel of Yahweh appeared to Moses in the midst of the burning bush. But then in verse 4, God the Father called to him from within the bush. Now, the question is, can God be in heaven, which we think that's where he was at, and speak out of the bush? Well, a better question is, can God be on the earth and speak out of heaven? And the answer is a resounding yes, he can, and yes, he did. And I'll give you an example there. In Matthew chapter 17, the Bible says that when the Messiah, Yahweh Yeshua in the flesh body, when he was glorified, that there was a voice that spoke out of the cloud. Now, remember, there was somebody in this cloud, just like there was back in the days when Moses, and this is Moses again, Moses and Elijah, they appeared to him. Moses was for me with this cloud thing. And I'm going to read you something that just here in a minute in Exodus chapter 14 to sort of explain to you. There's a really revealing verse in this narrative here of Exodus chapter 14 that Yahweh looked down in this cloud. He looked down on the Egyptian army. It's amazing. Well, here was a Messiah in the cloud, and the voice didn't speak out of heaven. It said he spoke out of the cloud. Well, now, where do you think the Father was? The Father was in the body of flesh, the Son, the one he called the Son, and when he spoke out of that body, he said, this, meaning the physical being, this is my beloved Son, in whom, not of whom. See, there was not a second, third person here. In whom, it says, not of whom. Check the language real good here. In whom I am well pleased, hear you him. And then when the cloud lifted, they saw no man but the Messiah himself. And when the cloud lifts out off of the fog out of your denominational understanding, you'll see one. There's one spirit and one body, and it's reconciling the world unto himself, because the Bible said that God the Father was in the Messiah Christ, revealing himself and reconciling the world unto himself. Reconcile means you got to reconcile here. So these angelic beings, or these theopathies that we're talking about, they're very necessary for you to get the message, because you're a flesh being. You're lower than these angels. These angels are higher than you, and therefore they have more might. But those who are in command to Yahweh, they have to obey him. Those who are in command to Satan, they have to obey him. Did you know in Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4, it says that Satan is the god of this world. Now listen to me again. That's why that he could tempt the Messiah. That's why he could offer him all the world. That's why he could give him everything that he had in his power. He said, if you'll just swap places with me. You see, you don't have to go through this suffering. You don't have to meet that impending death, because you know I'm going to kill you. You know I'm going to make you suffer. You know I'm going to plant the thorns and drive them into your skull. And this excruciating pain that you're going to feel when I open up your back with a cat of nine tails and give you 39 stripes. You know that you're going to suffer. And that's why that he fell down on his face and prayed till his sweat become as great drops of blood. Man, he knew what was coming up. Now, Exodus 13 and verse 21. When Yahweh delivered the children of Israel from Egypt, the Bible says, by the day that Yahweh went ahead of them in a pillar of cloud. It says, by day, Yahweh went ahead of them in a pillar of cloud. Was he just floating on the cloud like everybody thinks? He's a little misty spirit and he floats around on the cloud. He had to have a vehicle, ladies and gentlemen. You say, oh my heavens. Well, when we go up in the air, the Bible said we're going to raise up in the air to meet him. And we're just going to float on the cloud. These Christians that think they're going to be raptured out and they're just going to float like a little butterfly. You know, You better start thinking again. You better redefine your search and get in the Bible and search. For Yahweh went by day ahead of them in a pillar of cloud to guide them on their way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light. You talk about candle power, candlelight. How did this work? Well, let's listen here. Exodus 14, 19. He was in the pillar of the cloud, guiding the Israelites through the wilderness after their flight from Egypt. And it says, and the angel of God, who had been traveling in front of Israel's army, when they were pursued by the Egyptian army, withdrew. Now listen to this now. It changed its course. Have you ever seen a cloud in the sky? I have. I have seen some of the strangest formations that followed me. One night, I was followed from Knoxville, Tennessee. My daughter and my wife saw this vehicle, whatever it was. It was up in the sky, and it followed us all the way to Tazewell, and from Tazewell over to our church where we was going to be in service that night, and it parked right above our heads. And everybody there at the church seen it, but they didn't know what it was. But listen to this. And the pillar of cloud also moved from in front of them and stood behind them, coming in between the armies of Egypt and Israel. Now we find here in verse 24, now listen to this, this is incredible. Oh man. We're told that Yahweh looked down on the Egyptian army through the pillar of fire and the cloud, and fought against Egypt. Now, who's involved in this pillar? Was it the angel of Yahweh? Or was it Yahweh himself? You know, in some way, it had to be either a combination of more than one, or then it must have been that the one was all of the above. But the Elohim and El, that's Yahweh himself, and his Elohim, that's the angels. When the heavens and earth were created, the Bible said that these angels shouted for joy. Now notice this one. Numbers chapter 22, and I hit the highlights on these, but I want to give you scriptures here. Numbers chapter 22, verse 22 through 35. Numbers 22 through 22. And 35. This angel appeared to Balaam and the pagan prophet and gave him orders, even commanded the donkey to speak. And I told you that the dumbass spake. And he told this other dumbass that was thinking he was something and somebody going for a prophet. The Bible said for the wages of unrighteousness Balaam was a preacher that loved to be paid. He had to be paid to perform his magic. And the angel stood ready to slay him. The little ass saw it, but the blind ass on the donkey, he couldn't see a thing. That's where these blind ass prophets are in the churches today. They're blind as Balaam. They serve mammon. They want the praise of men. Oh yeah, they talk the faith, but boy, when it comes to walking it, they can't walk. No, they can't get her done. Joshua chapter 5, verse 13 and 15. This is a strange one right here, ladies and gentlemen. You got to mark this one down if you're doing your Bible search. Joshua 5, 13 through 15. Joshua was fixing to cross the river, and all of a sudden he looked up now. And he saw a man with a sword in his hand. And he humbly identified himself as commander of the army of Yahweh. Oh, I love that. You reckon that'd have been Michael that we find in Revelation 12, verse 7, that Michael, the war angel, and his angels fought against the dragon, Satan, the fallen one, and his angels, the other fallen ones? Are we still having war around us in these dimensions? Is it fixing to climax and culminate here in the ages to come? Well, I think, you know, they started talking about the last days 2,000 years ago. Well, you know we're 2,000 years closer, but one day's 1,000 years to Yahweh. So if we got one more day, that could be another 1,000 years. You see what I'm talking about here? If he's supposed to come tomorrow, then tomorrow will be 1,000 years. Oh, it's awful. It's awful. Amazing how the Bible and how we're so fatalistic. We think in terms of the carnal and the man, but Yahweh thinks in he's long suffering, not willing that any of his children's going to perish, not one of them, because they've been with him from the very beginning, and you can bet your bottom dollar he ain't going to lose any of them in the end. Every one of them that were his, he's going to get them. A heavenly Father that's able to save would not let one of his children perish. Listen to this. Joshua fell to his face and worshiped him and called him Yahweh. Oh my. Here's Yahshua falling down on his face and calling on Yahweh. And you Yahshua people that want to bring in two beings and give them two separate names, you need to understand that that's not so. Judges chapter 6. The same body of flesh being this theophany told Gideon, appeared to Gideon was in the threshing floor hiding, threshing his barley and wheat. He didn't want to pay taxes on, because see, the enemy had taken over Israel, and they had to pay taxes and tribute. And here's old Gideon, boy, he was defiant. He said, "I ain't paying that system nothing. It's an antichrist system. It's an anti Yahweh system." And the angel came to deliver Gideon from the Midianites. And the angel of Yahweh appeared to a very humbled and timid Gideon. And listen to what this, I just get chill bumps. I'm thinking about some of the things that's happened to me in my life. Here, this warrior, man, he's fighting a good fight of faith. He ain't bowed down to no government system. He's holding on. Here came this man walking out of somewhere. What dimension did he step into this dimension? I'll never know. You probably won't either. And probably Gideon never figured it out. But listen what he done. Normally, an angel don't do things like this. But here's what he done. And the angel sat down under an oak tree. Oh, praise Yahweh. It reminds me of the two brothers when I introduced the name to them, was teaching them over here in Tazewell. This has probably been 20 years ago. And I told them about the vibration of the name Yah and how that when you form it in your mouth and you express it in power and the neshama, the breath of life, that the Yah is a vibrational tone. And they went to the park and they had no thought, but they said, let's try that little chant that Pastor Buddy was teaching us about Yah. Wah. So one of them said Yah, and they'd say Wah, and they sat under this. They didn't know they were having a picnic in the park here in Morristown, Tennessee, and they were sitting under this, and it was in the spring when the acorns was in a cap, and they were very tight. The acorns at that time were very cap tight. You know, when they get in the fall, they'll get loose and they'll fall from the tree. It's just what the little squirrels gather up, and the oak tree is by nature it's receding itself. But here they were doing this in the early spring when the acorns was very cap tight, and they begin to chant Yah, and all of a sudden they said that something started hitting them in the head, and they couldn't figure out in the world what it was, and they looked up. And it was the little acorns that was falling out of the tree, clapping their hands for joy because these two brethren that just got introduced to the name was exalting the name Yah in a praise. And the acorns loosed their little caps and they sailed down in unison. And they told me, Pastor Buddy, we couldn't believe it, how that the power, so much power, in this great, magnanimous name of Yah. It's the greatest name. Ladies and gentlemen, the world don't see it. The world don't know it. The world won't call on it. But this is the only name given under heaven that's got any salvation. And I can prove that by as many as 50 scriptures right out of the top of my head. I could go on all night about the glory and the sovereignty of Yahweh. Listen to this one now. Judges chapter 13, and I love the scripture too. This is one of my favorites. Judges 13:22. It tells about the birth of Samson. It told him to be a Nazarite, to not cut his hair, to not to eat any grapes, dried grapes, to drink any wine or strong drink, to keep himself pure. And the parents were told, and they recognized that the angel of Yahweh was in their presence. And they said, we are doomed to die. They thought it was a bad omen when they saw this mighty one and the feats he performed. You know, you can go on and read what he'd done. They wanted proof that he was an angel sent from Yahweh. And he demonstrated it and he made a believer out of him. Praise Yahweh. Now, notice this. 1 Kings 19, an angel appeared to Elijah at Mount Horeb and directed Elijah to that very mountain. And there's where he went up on the mountain in 1 Kings chapter 18. Ladies and gentlemen, and there's where he restored the altar of Yahweh, and he dug the trench round about, meaning it was an altar of circle, and we know that it had 12 stones, and he placed these stones just exactly on a 30 degree basis. On a 30 degree, he placed 12 of them in a circle, and it gave you a 360 degree circle. And he knew how to position them too, ladies and gentlemen, and we know how to do that. We build altars. We got brothers that know exactly how to put these altars together. And if you'd like to have one built, they'd be glad to come and build you one. These men are mighty men of renown. Reminds me of the old brethren back in the old days, the old prophets and the great warriors back in those days. We got them today here in America and in foreign countries. Praise Yahweh. All right, listen to this one now. This is 1 Chronicles chapter 21, verse 18. David was moved on to build him an altar. And what prompted him to build him an altar real quick was that he had decided to number Israel in a census and was against Yahweh's will and his word. And the Bible said that Yahweh killed, sent an angel. Now listen to this. This is amazing. Yahweh sent an angel. And this angel sent a plague upon Israel throughout the whole 12 tribes, and he killed 70,000 people by just pronouncing a plague. 70,000 died because of the disobedience of David. You talk about charging this man with murder. People go off and think that his sin was killing Uriah, the husband of Bathsheba, but he was a Hittite. It was okay for him to do that. It wasn't nothing out of the ordinary to kill the conquered host. But here, it was a disobedience, direct disobedience from Yahweh. And notice, and Yahweh stayed the hand of the angel. Stayed the hand. Because you know what happened? Just as soon as the angel raised his sword, now I don't know what was in the tip of this sword, but it must have been a laser or maybe a ray gun, or it could have been a nuclear a bazooka, I don't know. But when he raised his hand to destroy Jerusalem, the Bible said, it says right here in 1 Chronicles chapter 21 that he raised his hand to destroy Jerusalem, and Yahweh said, stay, hold it. And he repented himself. Now, here, let me give you the most astounding of all references to angels. This is in the book of 2 Kings, chapter 19, and it's in verse 35. But you need to read the whole chapter, because it is a awesome, awesome chapter to display the power of these mighty ones. Now, they're given permission. And when Yahweh comes on the earth, now remember now, this was in a theocratical government. When Israel was supposed to obey Yahweh, Yahweh had control of Israel. Now, the other nations round about, he even prospered them to try Israel. And he would cause Israel to be in a severe drought just to try them, to see if they would remain faithful. So they looked on the gods of the nations round about that had prospered them. Satan, the god of this world, had prospered the nations round about. And Yahweh had chastised Israel for their disobedience and plagued them. And then they said, well, we're serving the wrong god. Let's go over here and serve this other god, because he blesses. Well, isn't that the way Satan is? He entices you with all the good things he's got to offer you. And he draws you away, and Yahweh just, you know, he's a stern master. Every little disobedience will receive a just recompense of reward, the Bible said. Here, 2 Kings 19:35. The angel of Yahweh sent and killed 185,000 Assyrian soldiers that were besieging Jerusalem. Ladies and gentlemen, 185 Assyrian soldiers lost their life by the hand of an angel. You reckon that they're still around? You reckon they've got weary and went off on a vacation and forgot us down here on planet Earth? You reckon that there ain't nobody around to guard us and to watch over us? Well, we're going to get into the scripture in a minute and it'll show you. In Zechariah 1 and 12, the angel of Yahweh is seen interceding on behalf of Israel, calling out to Yahweh of hosts. Ladies and gentlemen, it is so, so wonderful to know that the angel of Yahweh is always there, present, in the time of need. Ladies and gentlemen, theophany, from the Greek Theophania. Theophany. From the Greek word theophania, meaning appearance or showing of a mighty one. It's a deity. God's in the flesh that comes down here in a theophany. They assume a solid body. We know that. So, ladies and gentlemen, you know that Yahweh is a strong tower, and the righteous, what they do? Well, they run into it, and the Bible says they're safe. Well, if they're safe, well, then there ain't no use for us to worry about. As one of my good brothers told me a while ago, he said, I read the last chapter. That's why we stand on His Word. The Word is written that this might be an example. It is the good verse in the bad, the light verse in the darkness. And the dark ways seem better. Satan is a shining light, and he offers you freedom and liberty and excitement. And he likes pomp and splendor. He likes to parade his big buildings and put his big false prophets up and let them jump and yell and shout and work miracles and signs and wonders. Oh, my. Ladies and gentlemen, what angels look like? Well, again, like I said, in Judges 6 and 11, they sit down. In Isaiah 6 and 2, they stand. And in Zechariah 5 and 9, they have wings. And they're beautiful. In Genesis 18 and 2, they ate a meal with the Messiah. And they're ministering spirits according to Psalms 104, verse 4. And Hebrews 1 and 7 says, He maketh His angels spirits. They're like fire. 104, verse 4. The Bible said He calls His ministers a flame and fire. Well, what do they do? What do they do? Well, the Bible said they're here to serve us. Oh, man. Did you know that the Bible says that they camp about us? They camp around us? I just can't hardly comprehend that. Think about, you go to bed at night and you just have a wonderful sleep, and here's angels pulling guard duty around you. Encamped around. If, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to assure you, if you weren't protected, and you think you're having it bad, think about if the angels withdrew their protection like He told Job. The devil said, you got a wall around Job. You got a protection around. What he meant was not a literal wall, but a wall of angels that were ready to defend Job in case of a satanic attack. And the devil said, you just move in, big boys, and I'll move in and I'll show you. He'll curse you to His face. And so Yahweh gave the command. He said, angels, stand down. And angels stood down. And oh, here comes Satan. Once again, I face Satan this morning, and I battle him all the day through. Ladies and gentlemen, you're in a warfare. You better put on the armor. Now, listen to this, Hebrews 1:13. But to what angel has He ever said, sit on my right hand till I make thine enemies a footstool for thy feet? Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to serve for the saints of those who are to obtain this salvation? Don't you think that Yahweh is there protecting you? You say, well, I don't know. I've got this problem, and I've got this sickness, and I've got this thing has come upon me. Count it all joy. What the Bible said, that you fall into divers temptation. I had a brother reading that the other night, and I nearly shouted. Count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations. When Satan comes and brings afflictions, he can bring them, ladies and gentlemen. When a wall is let down, Satan will move in, and his mission And ladies and gentlemen, you can believe one thing, he accepted it, and he's on the job, which is to kill you, steal you, and destroy you. They feed you. As Elijah found out in 1 Kings 19:5, as he lay and he slept under a Jupiter tree. I mean, here's the oak tree and here's a Jupiter tree. What's about trees? Well, trees are, in a sense, they are basically the watchers. Do you know an angel could be camouflage is a tree, and you could, do you think trees know things? Do you think plants know things? Do you think that they've got a memory? I taught you about how that they did a test on plants. That one group of bad people went in and cursed the plant, and then another group went in and blessed the plant and prayed for it and wished it well. And the difference on the needle, it was hooked up, the electrodes on the machine that was hooked to the plant. These little electrodes was attached to the plant, and they registered the negative and the positive of the two different groups. Man, oh my. Yeah. He slept under a Jupiter tree. And behold, an angel touched him and he said, "Arise and eat." Oh man. Arise and eat. Here's an angel cook. Yahweh sent a cook. Now this is a special meal. Reckon it's some kind of angel food. I don't know, but it describes it as a little waffle or a whole cake or something. And he ate that and went 40 days in the strength of that one meal. 40 days and 40 nights, and he didn't even eat anything or didn't even drink any water. Amazing. Well, we know in Acts chapter 5, verse 17, but the high priest arose up, and all who were with him, that is the party of the Sadducees, they were filled with jealousy when they arrested the apostles and put them in a common prison. But at night the angel of Yahweh opened the prison doors and brought them out and said, "Go stand in the temple and speak to the people all the words of this life." And when they heard this, they entered the temple at daybreak. At daybreak. I mean, you talk about getting there early for a service. Here is these men that were just, I mean, they were bound to die. They'd just been put in the common prison. And here the angel looses them and says, "Get back out there and go to work." I mean, they was on the job. They clocked in for Yahweh at daybreak. No complaints. Man, I ain't going to complain about serving Yahweh. You know, a lot of people say I've got too much on my plate, but, you know, whatever they can't eat, boy, just pass it on over. I got a tremendous, ferocious appetite to serve Yahweh. And this is why. They give us warning and impending danger in Genesis 19:15. When morning dawned, the angels urged Lot, saying, "Arise and get out of here." You better believe that they'll speak to you, ladies and gentlemen. They protect us. In Psalms 91, listen to this. "For he will give his angels charge of you to guard you in all your ways. On the other hand, on their hands they will bear you up, lest that you dash your foot against a stone." Psalms 34:7. "The angel of Yahweh encamps around about those who fear him, and he delivers them." Hallelujah. Write that one down. Psalms 34:7. What a powerful, powerful scripture. You really believe that? You say, "I can't see him." It's the things you can't see that makes you more than a conqueror. Because if the things that you see, and then them you would trust the five senses to feel, smell, taste, see, and all these things, you don't need that. You just need a mighty dose of faith. Now faith. You need that now faith. Not tomorrow's faith. Not yesterday's faith, but now. They protect us. Psalms 34:7. The Bible says that the angel of Yahweh. You see that, ladies and gentlemen? Now, you may not feel so so loved and blessed and respected? Because angels are not to tell you. You wouldn't walk by faith if they walked in and say, "Hey, buddy, I'm guarding you tonight. I won't let the devil do nothing to you. You don't worry about him." Honey, my faith tells me that the angel is right here. I've had two wrestling matches with angels, both good and bad. I've had two wrestling matches just like my father Jacob. And the closest two times I've ever come in to die in my life was a battle with angels. I mean, the bad ones, they came to get me. They came to take me. Yahweh just lifted up the veil and moved the watchers back far enough that Satan attacked me. And this was for my learning. This was for my benefit. At that time, it wasn't pleasant. And no temptation taking you is any pleasant. But Yahweh said, He said, "With the temptation, I'll make a way for you to escape." They deliver Yahweh's message. And Gabriel is the messenger angel. Listen to this now. This is in Luke 1:11. "And the angel answered him, 'I am Gabriel, who stands in the presence of Yahweh, and I was sent to speak to you and to bring you this good news.'" Oh, hallelujah. I could use a dose of good news, right? I don't know about you, but I could use a good dose of news. And if it don't come today, I'm looking for him tomorrow. And if he don't come tomorrow, I'll look for him next week. If he don't come next week, I'll look for him next year. Sooner or later, ladies and gentlemen, that message is going to come to you. Now, the final scripture tonight. They direct us in all of our ways. In Acts 8:26, listen to this. Here's old Philip. He was an evangelist, ladies and gentlemen. He's out there preaching, and the angel of Yahweh said to Philip, "Rise and go toward the south, to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a desert road." And he arose and went. And behold, an Ethiopian, a eunuch. Everybody says, "Well, that's a black man because he's from Ethiopia." Ladies and gentlemen, they don't let no strangers in the temple. You can bet one thing, he wasn't black. No, they don't let no strangers in the commonwealth of Israel. Israel was an Aryan nation. And Ethiopia was occupied by Israel at that time that we're talking about. And he had gone up to worship at the temple. The angel of Yahweh called old Philip away when he baptized the eunuch. And he went to the city of Samaria and he preached, and they had another big revival. What power! What wonderful power! Matthew 13:41-42. Listen to this now. "The Son of Man will send his angels and will gather out of his kingdom all that causes sin and evildoers. And he will throw them into the furnace of fire, and there men shall weep and gnash their teeth. Then shall the angels gather the tares into the bundle and burn them." Are you with me? Yahweh's coming with 10,000 times 10,000 of his angels, ladies and gentlemen. And he's coming back to take vengeance on them that know not Yahweh and will not obey his word. Ladies and gentlemen, I want you to know, if you want to call Pastor Buddy tonight, then all you got to do is to call area code 423-626-2172. Now that's area code 423-626-2172. Give us a radio check around the world. If you're listening to us around the world on WWRB, just give us a radio check and we'd appreciate that. If you got a comment, well, you can give that. If you got a criticism, we'll take a little bit of that. Because our old skin is tough. And you know, we our faces become like flintstone, like Paul said. So, but remember this, in Matthew 18:10, "Take heed that you despise not one of these little ones, for I say unto you that in heaven their angels do always behold their face of my Father which is in heaven. in heaven, the angels. Oh, my. No wonder they wanted to look into this. All right, if you'd like to write me, simply write me at Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee. That's Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee. And again, the Bible would want you to encourage those that carry the word. And it would be much into my spirit. It would mean much for you to just sit down and write me a card, a letter, or call me and request this series of angels. We'll do one more part. We'll finish it up tomorrow night. I'll be on at 11 p.m. Now, that's a little late for you. I won't go off till midnight. But you people out west now, this is just going to be probably an 8 o'clock starting time in Los Angeles, California. So you Easterners may want to go to sleep. But Pastor Buddy will be carrying the word tomorrow night at 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. It'll be 10 Central. And it will be, it'll be 9 o'clock Mountain Time, I guess. And like I say, it'll be 8 o'clock Pacific Time. So tune us in tomorrow night live on WWRB 3.185 around the world with the Shepherd's Call with Pastor Buddy tomorrow night at 11 p.m. Join us then for part 3 and the concluding message of angelic beings. Ladies and gentlemen, I might even tell you about when I entertained an angel, because it really gets to my spirit when I talk about angels, and I always think about the one that I believe visited me a long, long time ago and said some things that I can't even recall, but I know they were wonderful. And I have always followed the example that angel told me to do. I've endeavored to do that. So if you want to hear Pastor Buddy's testimony about an angel visiting Pastor Buddy, you can tune in tomorrow night at 11 o'clock, and I would enjoy telling you that wonderful story about these mighty angels. Well, ladies and gentlemen, visit our website. That will be www.oneyahweh.com. That's oneyahweh.com. Oh my, what a wonderful song. One pair of hands. Ladies and gentlemen, don't you look for another. Yahweh's big enough to hold you and save you. He was a big enough God in the beginning to appear in a theophany of a body many, many times. And then finally, ladies and gentlemen, He finally came into the world that He made and created. He came through a woman's womb. And He said, I love you. I'm here. And though He disguised Himself in a flesh body, many people recognized Him. Oh, yeah. I love that song. One pair of hands, ladies and gentlemen. Just turn over to Yahweh and let Him love you all the day long. Well, I'll see you tomorrow night live on WWRB 3.185 Clear Channel on the transmitting Jewel of the South at 11 p.m. Join me for part 3 and the concluding message on angels. Or go to oneyahweh.com and download this message. Yahweh bless you. I'll see you tomorrow night. I love you very much.